Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
After the meditation, we'll have a few moments of silence to envision world healing, world peace, having food distributed to all on our planet. We also at that time hold the heads of government worldwide, that they make their decisions out of the power of love rather than the love of power. Notice your thoughts and release any thought of the future or the past. Presence yourself to right now. Right now. Envision a bright light moving up your spinal pathway, all the way up your back, up to the back of your neck, the back of your head, and the top of your head. Focusing your attention on the point between your eyebrows. Know that I speak these words for me and for you in the I person. There is one presence, one power, one divine mind, one God. It is the fullness of wisdom, creativity, and unconditional love. Because it is omnipresent, it expresses not only around me, but in me, through me, and as me now. I am a free being in the life of spirit. Therefore, my true nature cannot be compromised by my earthly experience. I am not a victim of the past, nor influenced by thoughts of fear or subject to collective fear or group disease. I am a moving, bold power of intelligence and energy as a co-creator in God. I am the expressed desire of spirit to be seen and known as this particular life in this my current incarnation. I am prosperous, vital, healthy. I am loved, lovable, and loving. I enthusiastically and joyfully express my boldness, my daring and courage as an acknowledgement of what and who I really am. And I rejoice in this knowingness. I'm thankful this morning for each person present here in spiritual community and our extended community, no matter where they are. I'm thankful for my world and universe and my relationship to them. Most of all, I am thankful for life itself, and so it is, and it is so. Thank you. My topic this morning is be bold. Be bold. Have you ever looked up that word in the dictionary? It means daring and courageous, not holding back. Boldness means not hesitating in the face of active or passive danger or rebuff. Boy, strong words there. I heard someone once say, we've got too much wishbone and not enough backbone. So my purpose this morning is threefold. My question, first of all, I always start with my first point 90% of the time with a question. Is life enjoying life through you? Is the infinite presence and power, the infinite divine mind, is God enjoying its expression in and through and as your life? Number two, audaciously examine every area of your life to see, am I holding back? Am I willing to express boldness? And number three, it's never too late or too early for us to truly express that boldness and not hold back in any area of our life. I can only think of the infinite presence and power, God, if you want to call it God. Many people don't anymore. There's lots of names. I can only think of that infinite presence and power in terms of success, right? Right? Hello, right. Whether it's success as far as relationships, health and healing, or true prosperity, which is to thrive and flourish and be successful in every area of our life. So we need to really remember that we're made in that image and likeness. So do we, in our own consciousness, think of ourselves only in terms of success and not hold back in any area of our life? Can we hold like we are a divine idea in the mind of God whose time has come? That's an old statement from about the 70s or 80s, but it's a statement I love to say. I actually declare it when I'm walking Rosie. I am a divine idea in the mind of God whose wonderful time has come, whose successful time has come, whose prosperous time has come. And sometimes I say it out loud and then, oops, around the corner somebody comes. Say, good morning. Good morning. Joy is different from happiness, and I've done topics on that. I won't go into that in any detail right now, but joy is the unmistakable evidence of God residing within you, or you residing in God. Because it's not like God is inside here. We're all immersed in that omnipresence, so we live in God. So don't ration your passion. There's an anthropologist that noted that we are hardwired by God in every fiber of our being, an inbuilt, not need, but desire to consciously connect with God, to be conscious that we are expressions in God. Boy, that's a pretty wise anthropologist. Neil Donald Walsh says it like this: to kill passion, you are attempting to kill God, if that's possible. Passion is God's way of wanting to say hi. Most of us think God says boo. You know? You know, it takes courage. It takes courage to place yourself into an environment continually, as many of you do, that reminds you who you are and keeps calling you forward to express that magnificence in boldness and not to hold back. It takes courage. A lot of people would rather not be reminded who they are. A lot of people would not want to be reminded of, well, are you holding back a little bit over here? whether it's in relationship or whether it's in an area of you can be healed or whether it's in an area of shifting from scarcity to prosperity. Are we willing to be God's highest expression, God's highest idea of ourselves? That's a great question to ask ourselves every morning when we wake up. I'd like you to look in every area of your life and look to see if there's any areas that you're holding back in. And you know, if you really ask the question truthfully and honestly to yourself, I want to give you a few examples of my own. And as I give these examples, you start looking. I know many of you have had similar experiences. I stepped out in boldness and I didn't hold back when I moved forward with having a divorce. I gained freedom from that. And I was the first in my family to have a divorce. Guess what that brought up? I married a man who had 6 kids. And I had 3. 3 and 6 is 9. Gulp. So it's like, was I willing to sell out and be afraid and not marry somebody who I wanted to spend the rest of my life with and love? Because it might not work out. 6, 9 kids, my God, I've got to be crazy. My, what was he called? My general manager, actually the owner of the real estate company that Norman and I both worked in at that time, took me aside as a father. Came all the way from the other side of the city, took me aside and he says, Gail, I think you're jumping from the frying pan into the fire. And he said it out of love. I know he did, and out of concern. A few months later, Norman and I started our own real estate company, not known for its size, but for its people, just him and I. People in the office said, they're going to come crawling back within 6 months. You ever had something that, you know, you're moving forward in your dream and there's some people going, yada, 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 to your face or not to your face? Accepting total recovery after a near-death experience. 100% recovery after a near-death experience, no matter what the doctor said. Listening to my heart, realizing that it was a revelation, not a speculation, to start a center in Edmonton first, where people could come and learn what I had spent so much time, money, energy, and being away from my family, where they could come and place themselves into an environment and learn the principle, universal principles of healing, relationship, and prosperity. You know, there's no university or school that teaches you exactly how to start a center. There's ministerial training. And I don't know, maybe they do now, Darlene. I don't know. She doesn't know. No. That was my training ground, starting the one in Edmonton. And then 2 years later, we started one here. And the one in Edmonton is doing wonderfully well. They bought a Roman Catholic church a couple of years ago. They're into 2 services. And I'm going to be speaking there in 2 weeks about relationships. Moving to Victoria. Have you ever had a move in your heart and it's like, can I do it? Should I do it? what'll people say or think or do? I remember phoning Norman. I was in Victoria visiting friends, waiting for the rest of a workshop to finish in Vancouver. And I phoned him and I said, are you sitting down? And he wasn't too happy that I had gone to Vancouver on this workshop. And I thought, you know, he says, yeah, I'm sitting down. And I thought he'd say, what in the is that seminar teaching you now? I said, are you sitting down? He said, yeah. I said, I want to move to Victoria. He said, well, we'll talk about it when you get home, dear. 4 months later, we were here. 3 months later, we started the center. Look to see in your life where you've broken through any consideration that might have been in your way. Every Sunday I introduce a board member and I always tell you what their stand is, because they prepare their own stands when they take on the commitment of being a board member. And my stand always has been on the center's board, is the vision holder. And I always had a vision of owning our own building before I quit ministry. Many of you know this story. It's very briefly. 6 years ago, we were in debt. The center owed money certain places. Quite a bit of money. Thousands of dollars, actually. We didn't have a building fund. And my realtor found this place. And we had a board meeting, and I said, maybe, just maybe, Spirit is leading us to have our own home here. And the board was very excited about the possibility. It didn't look like this quite, because it was the Moose Society Hall. And 2 months later, we moved in. 2 months later. You know, I'm here to tell you that no matter what your dream is, don't let go of that dream. Whether it's in relationship, whether it's in the area of prosperity, whether it's in the area of career, whether it's in the area of having healing and recovery. Because the power that made the universe and that takes a spermatozoa and an egg and in 9 months creates a baby resides within each one of us. And it's not for us to say, well, I don't think I can do it. It's too big. I shouldn't. Especially going around and asking some other people what they think, especially if you have a sense that they'll go, pfft. This doesn't mean that you're not going to be criticized or subjected to rejection. And these things can be distractions. Most people who criticize are criticizing out of jealousy. They want to tear you down to build themselves up. Not everyone will celebrate your victory. That's just the way it is with some people. I want to quote to you Matthew 10:14 from the Aramaic Bible, which is the language that Jesus spoke. That's the Bible that I use all the time. Quote, whoever will not welcome you and will not listen to your words, when you leave the house or village, shake off the sand from your feet. Wow, that's powerful words. Then I heard another minister once say on television, which I loved, I thought it kind of encapsulated this, if people try to run you out of town, get in the front and lead the parade. People said to me, how many people do you know in Victoria? I said, two. You're going to move to Victoria? Yeah. What are you going to do there for work? Start a center. How many people do you know? Like that. Walt Whitman said this, dismiss whatever insults your soul. Cohen in his wonderful book, I Had It All the Time, he says this in alignment with what I'm speaking of. In letting go of what is not you, you may stir up some uncomfortable issues within yourself and within others. Some may complain, you're no longer the person I thought you were. How many people have ever had that said to them? Ah, a few of you. Thank God we aren't. And that is true. We are no longer the person we thought we were. There is more to you than you are expressing, and the time has come for you to step forward in courage and confidence. The caterpillar looks up at the butterfly and mutters, "You'll never get me up in one of those things." What the earthbound creatures do not realize is that they are one of those things already, intrinsically. And one day, when the time is right, they'll look down amidst the free flight and understand the entire process. As you extricate yourself from a fishbowl existence, you may make waves around you, but that is far better than drowning in a kiddie pool. If those who complain about your changes are at risk of drowning with you, you may be doing them a far greater service by standing up and walking out than by doing the dead man float with them. Go ahead and make some waves. An entire ocean awaits you. Beautiful words. I love all of his writing. So I want to give you some examples about people who never gave up. And some of these things might surprise you. The Beatles, they never gave up. They never held back. They were bold. They were turned down by 10 recording companies until Capitol took them on. Richard Hooker's humorous MASH was rejected by 21 publishers before Morrow decided to publish it, and it became a runaway bestseller, and you know it was on television for many years. 1959, Universal Pictures executive dismissed Clint Eastwood. You know how many Academy Awards that man has won? Dismissed him and Burt Reynolds at the same time. To Burt Reynolds, they said, "You have no talent." And this is what they said to Clint Eastwood. "You have a chip in your tooth, your Adam's apple sticks out too far, and you talk too slow." As you no doubt know, they're both incredible actors. 1954, Jimmy Denny, manager of the Grand Old Opry, fired, guess who? Elvis Presley after one performance. He told Elvis, "You ain't going nowhere, son. You ought to go back, drive a truck." He went on to become the king. When Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone in 1876, it did not ring off the hook from calls with potential backers. After making the demonstration to the president at the time, President Hayes, he said, "That's an amazing invention, but who would ever want to own one?" Wow. Can you imagine if some of these people weren't bold and you know, if they held back? Hello. In 1940s, another young inventor, Chester Carlson, they all turned him down in 1947 after 7 long years of rejection. And he eventually became the Xerox Corporation. What would our life be like without copying machines? And the last one I want to share with you, maybe incredible story. Wilma Rudolph, get this, was 20th of 22 children. Hello. She was born prematurely, and her survival was doubtful. When she was 4 years old, she contracted double pneumonia and scarlet fever, which left her left leg paralyzed. At age 9, she removed the metal leg braces she had been dependent upon and began to walk without it. By 13, she developed a rhythmic walk, which doctors said was a miracle. That same year, she decided to become a runner. She entered a race and came in last. Last! For the next few years, every race she entered, she came in last. How many people would have given up? Everyone told her to quit, but she kept on running. One day she actually won a race and then another. And then on she run. From then on she won every race that she entered, and eventually that little girl who was told that she would never walk again went on to win 3 Olympic gold medals. Wow. I get God bumps all the way down my legs when I read about stuff like that. It's amazing. It's just amazing. So it's never too late or too early for us to, I'm going to say, surrender. Oh, so many people don't like that word. It's unpopular because so many people hold it like this. Wave the white flag and give up. Submission. Defeat. But are we willing to surrender to our boldness, our courage, our greatness, and our grandness? That's the question. Surrender really means yielding and allowing. Yielding and allowing. So, it's time for us to take a quantum leap. This is Take a Quantum Leap. I got it from a New Thought conference in Palm Springs a few years ago. We were all wearing this one day. And boy, did it ever get us thinking about what would be a quantum leap for us? And in which areas? And especially, you know, looking deeper, the places to look is what areas that we haven't stepped up and out in boldness. The areas that we have held back on. So it's time for us to come to the end of ourselves, small S-E-L-F, and truly express and experience large S-E-L-F. And I'm going to remind you of a couple definitions of God, and of course God is undefinable, but these two I like, okay? Deepak Chopra says, God is infinite consciousness which is eternally, dynamically unfolding and revealing itself. That's us too. David Hawkins says, unlimited context out of which arises infinite power. Do we have a sense that infinite power can rise out of us? So here's a request that I have of you. Something's falling off the door back there. Thank you. Here's a request I have of you. Come out of the closet. Give up being a closet metaphysician. Let people know what's working for you, and let them know where you found out what works for you. Invite them to the center. Invite them to classes, whether it's here or other places. Share books with other people. I want to remind you that, I think it was Paramahansa Yogananda said, that we are a wave on the ocean of consciousness. And being a wave on the ocean of consciousness, we have all of the attributes and qualities that it has. So I want to tell you that an ocean awaits you. Are you ready to ride that wave? Are you? Just a couple of you. Hello? Are you willing to be bold in life?
Yes.
Are you willing to not hold back in life?
Yes.
Are you willing to ride that wave?
Yes.
I am too, thank you. God's presence and power within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence and power in each and every one of you. Thank you for being here this morning. Namaste.